Each year this Sunday after Christmas is celebrated by the church as Holy Family Sunday. And we're invited to reflect upon the role of the family in God's plan. Sacred Scripture reveals to us, literally from the very first pages of the Bible, that the family has a central part to play in God's plan for creation. He made Adam in the beginning and placed him among all the animals and gave him the task of naming the animals. But we're told Adam didn't find any suitable partner. And so God takes the rib from Adam's side and builds up Eve, the woman, as an inseparable helpmate to Adam. And then he gives them the very first commandment of the scriptures: be fruitful and multiply. God created the world with a family. Adam and Eve, husband and wife, who were called then to bear new life, to cooperate with God in that great gift of procreation. And the Old Testament unfolds essentially as a story then of this family of God. We heard in our first reading today how God called Abraham and promised him descendants more numerous than the stars in the heavens. It was the family of Abraham that began so small, but eventually grew into this great nation of families, Israel. And from them would come the Savior, Christ the Lord. And so in the fullness of time, when the time had come to save a fallen world, how did God choose to do it? Through the incarnation of the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, becoming man for us, taking a human nature to himself. And not only that, how did he decide to come? He could have come as a royal king, maybe on some great horse or stallion, revealing all the glory and the power and the might of God. But no, he chose to come into a family. As a tiny infant, we call them the Holy Family, whom we celebrate this Sunday. God's choice to save the world through a family is like a seal, if you will, or a confirmation of what he revealed from the very beginning, that the family is at the heart of his plan. And down through the centuries, we've seen the truth of a phrase that many people, including St. John Paul II, so often repeated: as the family goes, so goes the world. When the family suffers, the world suffers. Because what is all of society but a great gathering of people built up of families? The family is that individual building block, the cell of our society. Certainly, it's true in our day that the family is suffering in many ways. And because of that, society and even our church suffers these wounds. All of the violence and the unease and the tension in our world, in some way or another, if you dig down deep, it comes back to the family. We know the symptoms, the great prevalence now of divorce. So many marriages struggle and are unable to persevere. In our day, something like 40% of children now are born into homes where they don't have a mother and a father who have embraced that lifelong bond of love in marriage. Along with that, the prevalence of contraception and abortion, and even the very attempt to redefine marriage itself according to our own whim rather than according to the way God established it, as this lifelong bond of love between one man and woman, husband and wife, open to new life. Not too long ago, Deacon Paul include me into a program on Nova on PBS about the rebuilding of Notre Dame Cathedral. It's been guess, a year and a half, almost 2 years now, since that huge fire destroyed the spire of the cathedral and the entire structure of the roof. Thankfully, the basic structure of the walls were able to be preserved. But now there's this great task of rebuilding. You know, there were all these proposals about what the new spire was going to look like and whether we designed something new and modern. But instead, it was decided, thankfully, I think, to go back to what was there from the beginning. And this program, it's very fascinating. It talks about how not only that, but they are making plans to rebuild the entire roof of the cathedral with the same materials and using the same methods that were used in the Middle Ages, back in the 1200s, 800 years ago. It lasted 800 years, the first round, I guess. They figure, why mess with something so good? There's an analogy here. If we want to heal a broken society, a society ravaged by so many ills, we have to heal the family. And anything, any proposal of a way to heal a broken society that doesn't seek to build up the family, or even worse, seeks to destroy the family, is destined to fail. What are we to do? Well, certainly, we're called to pray and work for this cause, to advocate for various policies and legislation that will renew our society based on the family. But more than anything else, what we are all called to do first and most importantly is to live generously the call to love and virtue in our own family. To strive to make our families truly holy families. That's our greatest task. To imitate the Holy Family. St. John Paul II, in a letter to families that he wrote back in the early 90s, he said, "The family is placed at the center of the great struggle between good and evil, between life and death, between love and all that is opposed to love." And that's why years later, when he wrote his letter on the rosary, he called upon the world to pray the rosary for two particular causes: peace in the world and the family. What a beautiful thing it would be for each of our families to take up the family rosary, to embrace the rosary as a family prayer. Mother Teresa loved to say, "The family that prays together stays together." Let's ask our Lord today on this feast of his own family, the Holy Family, for the grace to strive in our families to imitate the love and the virtue of the family of Nazareth. That by doing that, we might do our part to heal and to rebuild a broken world. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.